Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. I bear witness there's no God but God, and there's none worthy of worship besides Him. For ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I bear witness Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Present peace be upon him. Dearly beloved listeners, words made people, assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. Today is May 30th, 2021. We'll be right back after our opening theme song, titled Words Made People, sung by our beloved sister, Khadija Abdullah. We'll be right back. Tell a friend to tune in. That means God sees to with you and his mercy and his blessing. I want to bring up my co-host from the West Coast, bringing the most, Brother Imam Ayman Abdul Majid. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, my dear brother Imam Mikhail Sahir and our radio listening audience.
Yes, yes. And we're going to have a good show today. We're going to have I make a very good conversation. I really do. But, you know, we follow our tradition. We always read from the Quran first. When you have a show titled Words Make People, you got to begin with the best words for making people. And the best words for making people are the words of revelation. And as Muslims, we promote and think we can defend that the best collection, the most perfected and protected collection, words of revelation are those of the Quran. So Words Made People, and we're going to begin, as we always do here on Words Made People, we're reading from the Quran. We're going to read from a couple of verses, chapter 5, verse 116. We'll read from that verse, chapter 5, Surah 5, verse 116. And then also we'll read from later on, inshallah, we read from chapter 3, verse 21, a portion of that. But it's very important that we begin our show with reading from the Word of God. That is the beginning of our life. That is the middle of our life. And that will be the ending of our life. For those who believe, and those who disbelieve, they don't have, they got the same situation, but they're just in the dark. God got them started. God will take them through the middle, and God will see them on the end. We just want to show up on the end as being believers, and hopefully believers throughout the entire situation. So with that said, alhamdulillah, before reading the Quran, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. I seek refuge, protection with God from Satan, the rejected enemy. And we say, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And then we read from the Quran. Here it says, Yusuf Ali translation, chapter 5, verse 116. It says, and behold, Allah will say, O Jesus, the son of Mary, did you say unto men, worship me and my mother as gods in derogation of Allah? He, Jesus, the son of Mary, will say, glory to thee. Never could I say what I had no right to say. Had I said such a thing, you would indeed have known it. You know what is in my heart, though I know not what is in yours. For you know in full all that is hidden. So that's the reading of that verse, just the Pali translation, where it says here, it says, this is what in the Arabic, it says, what is called Allahu Isa ibn Maryam, and anta kutelinasi itakiduni wa umiya ilahani minduni yalahi. So it is saying here that Allah will question the prophet. He will ask the question. He said, did you tell people to worship you and not to worship me? This is what Allah is going to ask Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is going to say, no, I did not do that. And we can find that also in the Bible as well. You find that also in the Bible. And inshallah, I will try to pull that up before we're done, because this is important for us to recognize that Christ Jesus did not claim or ask anybody to worship him. We always point the people He said, to my father. I came to do my father's work. This is Bible language. So, yes, you want to be very mindful of this conversation today. It's going to tie in, I think, inshallah. But, you know, I may, any comments you want to share on this reading and so forth?
No, I think what you said is just really right to the point. And I think the main thing is that we want to get people to see that, you know, we're not to worship human beings, you know, in the flesh. You know, we're not to worship mm-hmm. human beings in the flesh. The one thing I do want to note is that, and I know we'll probably get into this as we get into the program, you have mm-hmm. Muslims that believe Jesus is going to return physically from, you mm-hmm. know, thousands of years ago. This is what they believe from reading, certain hadiths that they read. Mm-hmm. And the point is I want to make is they say, well, one reason he's coming back is to tell the people how they lied on him. Okay? And my explanation to them and my argument with them is, all right, what you just read from the Quran in Surah 5:116. I think it's the last verse there, isn't it? Is that the last verse there? Or close to it?
I'm not sure. I can look up and see.
Because we just read that in our reading. Yeah, it tells you right there, very plain about, you know, as far as exposing the lie that they told on him. You know, so he doesn't have to come back physically to tell that. The Holy Quran just said it. And, you know, it is it. Did you tell them to worship me and my mother? You know, I didn't tell them that. You know, and I don't know what's in my soul. But you definitely, I don't know what's in your soul, but you definitely know what's in mine. Are you the way you quoted it. You know what's in my heart, my soul, and myself.
Right.
But I don't know what's in you, God. I don't know what's in you because the word
right.
Heart that they translate is really nafs, soul, self,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just something that I wanted to bring out. I mean, as we get into the discussion, we'll probably get into that more. But I just wanted to point that out. And, you know, when I first heard that statement, Mary, Mother of God, man, I almost fell out. Mary, Mother of God? You know, but that's just something that people believe, and we really have to clear
right.
it up because God don't have no mother, man. You know, so
right, that's right. No yeah. father,
no church, either.
Yeah, and just for the record, I did check. No, that is not the last ayat because I think it goes to 120. Yeah,
okay.
There's four more. Yeah, just for the record.
Yeah.
So this is a very. Very important reading, but also I want to point this out too. I looked it up because I saved these notes here. Very similar to what's being said here in the Quran. So God's going to ask Jesus that you tell people to worship him. But we find support for that in the Bible, in a number of verses. And so, this is in the book of John. For those taking notes, book of John, 8:54. Jesus answered the people, said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, or whom you say that he is your God. So we have to look at this here. And here's a few more. When Jesus says in John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear fruit. So Jesus is letting us know that he came as a servant. And here's I'm going to read a couple more because this is important because we have probably have a number of Christian listeners and want to make connections today. And there's some things we say going to be different than what most of our Christian friends are hearing, but our goal is not to cause a division, but to make connections. So here are some more verses. All, these are all from the book of John that connects with what the Quran is saying here. This is John 5:31, 32, and 33. It says, if I bear witness to myself, my testimony is not true. You hear that? This is what they say Jesus is saying. He said, if I bear witness to myself, my testimony is not true. There is another one who bears witness to me. And I know that the testimony he bears to me is true. You sent to John, and he has bore witness to the truth. So John bear witness to the truth here. And here's the last one I read that shows the connection between this Quran verse and the book of John in the New Testament. It says, Jesus said to them, quote, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. We got to pause there for a minute. So people need to let that sink in. Jesus is saying he can do nothing of his own accord. He goes on to say, but only what he sees the Father doing. So Jesus, he has to wait and see what God says to do. And then Jesus will do it. And he goes on to say, for whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. So that's though we don't have that language of Father and Son in this law, still it shows clearly that Christ Jesus did not put himself above God. And just one more. They asked Jesus about the hour. We think of that as the hour of the judgment. And they quote Jesus as saying in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Brother Emmanuel, please comment on that. This is Matthew 24:36. I'll read you the end. But of no one knows, not even the angels of the heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only.
Yes, yeah, but there it is. I let you know right there, Jesus didn't know it. No one knows it. None of the prophets knew it. Only Allah knows it. Allah is the messenger. He's the one that knows everything, yeah. You know. Yes, and no right. Human being yes, knows everything. No human being knows everything. Only Allah knows everything. So that's a
right.
perfect example.
Yes,
yeah.
And chapter 5:16, when it ends, it says, and you just quoted a minute ago, you know what is in my heart, though I know not what is in yours, for you know in full all that is hidden. That's the same thing with what Matthew 24 is saying, that only God knows what is hidden.
Yes.
And so
that's
you
right.
have these similarities. Yeah, so I'm gonna read this other verse, and we'll comment on this very shortly. But also, I want to bring in my brother, Kareem Shabazz. He can press 1 on his phone. I'm gonna bring him into the conversation. He has written a marvelous book, and everyone needs to get this book. Well, he's written more than one book, but he got a book called Jesus and Muhammad, 2 rays from the same light.
Of the same light.
Let's think on our brother, Kareem Shabazz. As-salamu alaykum, brother Kareem.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Good morning, everyone. As-salamu alaykum to you, brother Imam, as well as you, Imam Ayman, and everybody else on this call. Praise be to Allah, one Lord, the Creator, the Cherisher of all. We're grateful to Him. Seek Him. We seek His guidance. We ask for His mercy and for His forgiveness. We put our complete trust in Him. And if we are in our right minds, we never want to consciously depart from His truth. this is such a remarkable subject that you're speaking on this morning, and the verses that you read from Brother Imam from the Quran, as well as the verses from the Bible that you've quoted such far, thus far, to corroborate the messages from the Quran, are just a few of the potent messages that's in the revelation that Allah has revealed for humanity. I will say very early, I know we're just getting started, but there's a concerted effort. This is not arbitrary. There's a concerted effort to launch, the confusion that in the ambiguity, the cloudiness on this very subject right here. And which I'll just say this right quick, then I'll pass the mic. This is one of the things that gave me the inspiration. Allah, I give praise and exalted glorification to Allah for endowing me with the moral courage and the enlightenment, the discernment, and the time to do the research to write the book that you just referenced, Jesus and Muhammad, Two Rays of the Same Light. I come from a Christian background. I accepted Islam at the age of 19 years old, but I had many, many different denominations in my Christian background on my mother and my father's side. And so, it was just God's will, his blessing for me to write on this subject right here to try to make some certain connections.
Yes, sir.
That, To try to clear up.
Yes, okay. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that.
Yes, sir.
We got to finish our Quran reading. Got to finish our Quran reading first. I just wanted to bring you in for commentary on that. But I like how you said good morning.
Alhamdulillah.
So you in a, because you in the afternoon, but mentally and spiritually, you're right. It's good morning. Because we're going to try and raise the sun up. Now, for email, Iman, he's in L.A. Maybe he can't stay up to good morning. He's still out there. It's just 10:20 in the morning out there in Los Angeles. Alhamdulillah.
Good morning here. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you to God. Okay, chapter 33, verse 21. Mainly just the first few words I want to read from that. Abdullahi Nanishitan Rajin, Bismillah Rahim. Laka Kana Lakum Fi Rasulillahi Uswatun Hasanatun. It where it says, you have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a Uswatun Hasanatun. Uswatun is saying, pattern of conduct, an excellent model of conduct. And Hassanan, the Hassan, is saying beautiful. So Allah is telling us in this chapter of the Quran that in Muhammad, the present peace be upon him, that for all mankind, it is not just for Muslims. Muhammad is for all people. That we have in him. It says lakat. And the word lakat, I remember I left this email with Kazal Akhmir. He said when it says lakat, it is a heavily emphatic must. It is a definite. It's like, sometimes we say in there, and if I in there, you just like in there, and in there means indeed. But lakat is a more intense indeed. So when it says lakat kana lakum fi rasulillahi, that seems that the lakat is saying that is a powerful effect indeed, surely indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, in Muhammad, all people have a beautiful pattern of conduct. And it goes on to read in the English, for any whose hope is in Allah and the final day. The model of Muhammad is for those who have hope in God and the final day and who engage much in the praise of Allah. But Dr. Allah Ghafidra, who engage much in the praise of Almighty God Allah. Brother Kareem, you have any comments you want to share on that?
Alhamdulillah. Sadaq Allahu al-Azim will be the first thing I would say, that Allah has spoken a mighty truth.
Ameen.
A truth of...
Ameen.
Yes, so in the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is that excellent model, that uswatun hasana, that excellent model. And something that's interesting about that, that Allah has revealed, is something that was actually mentioned on some of your previous shows by one of our wonderful sisters, Sister Khadija Muhammad Sadiq. I recall one of the previous shows we were speaking, I don't remember what the central theme was, but she made a very important point, and I will mention it here, and is that the excellence that Allah is calling to our attention to in Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, that excellence was there before the revelation of the Quran. So often we're drawn to the excellence of the Prophet in his prophethood, if you will, after he began to get the prophecy and all the 23 years that came after that. But something that's really important is that his nature, his fitra, his nature was intact. His nature was excellent even before the revelation. Now, I say that not so that a lot of people subconsciously we lift our prophet sometimes too so high that we lift him up beyond the human sphere. And I say that so that the excellence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling in Muhammad, peace be upon him, that same potential is in us. And that's why the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Allah mentions of him as a basharun mithlukum, that he was a mortal human being just like us. So the same excellence, the same uswatan hasana, that same beautiful pattern, that fitra is in us. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.
Yes, right. But the Bible says in Christ Jesus, a very similar message. I mean, you and you and me.
Exactly.
Saying the same message as that.
Exactly.
And we have, and I want to say this too for those in particular who may not be Muslim, who may hear this show later on, is that today, open your thinking cap. That, what I mean is, listen to this show today with a willingness to learn new thoughts on older or common concepts. I'm going to say the same thing again. Your concepts and your thoughts that you have been taught in life on particular religious ideas today on this show, be willing to learn new thoughts or new understandings on those very topics. And that's very important to keep in mind. Because we plan to cover a lot of information today, inshallah, God willing. But Imam Ayman, any comments on 233, Ayat 21?
No, I think Imam Brother Kareem, he really said what I really wanted to say, that excellence is also in us. And I think the model in Muhammad's excellence, and also, it says in the Quran that we saw you standing on an exalted standard of character.
Alhamdulillah.
Even before the revelation, he was standing on an exalted, mighty, kulukun avim, a mighty standard of character. All right? And then another ayat in the Quran, and I discussed this, it might be in the same surah, 33, in the beginning, where it says, Fikum Rasulullah, in you is Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, in you. So that nature is in us. That potential is in us. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a model there for us so we can have something high standard to live up to in that excellent human model, not angel model, you see. Not alien from another planet,
Right.
Human model. Not part divine and part human. Human model. And that ayat again in Surah Al-Kahf, the last 118th, I think it's 110th ayat. Qul innama ana basharun mithlukum. Say to them, Muhammad, that I am a human being just like you. A human being just like you. So I think that alone is the salvation. That's the salvation. You know, the salvation is not having a person that's part divine and part human to be our model. No, the salvation for us is having a human being that exemplifies an excellent human model. And I
that's
think
right.
if we all can wrap around that, then we can be saved. And the Bible also says, you know, lift me up, and I will draw all men unto me. And what are you
yes.
lifting up? You're lifting up that excellent human model for all human
yes.
beings to live with.
That's right.
That excellent human
yes,
model. You know, and the Holy Quran says
yeah.
the death and resurrection of one soul is the death and resurrection of all of us. So once one of us is lifted up in that excellence, then we all can be drawn and we can identify in that excellence, and that can pull all of us up. That's all I want to say.
You know what?
What
you know what came to my mind when you were talking about the excellence within? Well,
yeah.
both of y'all mentioned it.
Yeah.
The words of the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, I know it. I know. I thought about it too. When
we
I said alien,
all endowed. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all are endowed by our Creator. With
yeah.
certain.
With inalienable rights.
They're certain.
Yeah.
Inalienable rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they mentioned some things too, but we have brains too. We can insert. We want to insert in there as well. So let's tell you what. Let me do this here. I thought my sister was going to call in because she wanted to make an announcement, but I'm not sure if this is her number or not. But I'm going to try. She has a quick announcement because I want to get into our topic. I'm going to see if this is my sister, Shakira, or not. Is this Sister Shakira here? Okay.
That's going to
be her. Assalamu alaikum.
This is Bashir.
Okay, we got to put you back on hold for a minute, brother Bashir. I'll come back to you.
Okay.
I'll try to see if that was here or not. Okay, thank you. Let me see. Is
yes.
Sister Shakira here?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. You wanted to make an announcement. You want to make sure we got
yes.
that in before we got the moving. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disturb the program, but I want to let the listeners know in peace word. I was on, blessed to be on Words Make People, April, I think the 18th, and for the Head That Year Support Foundation. And people sent donations, and I want to caution everyone, please spread the word that if you're donating to an organization, make sure it's the organization, not someone collecting money for the organization. I found one brother had donated, and he had, I guess, Googled it. It's called the Network of Good. This organization is not representative of the Jihad Bashir Support Foundation. If you want to make donations, you can call me at 773-651-4609. Not only me or the organization, but anybody. There are scammers that are the money and getting your information, and they steal and go within your information, your bank account, your credit cards, and everything. And I appreciate Imam Mattel and Imam Ayman for giving me this time to know. You always have a beautiful program. May Allah continue to bless you all. And your theme today, words make people. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Before you go, so you're saying that there's someone that can use the name of your foundation and they were using it?
The foundation. I don't know. I haven't done too much research, but a brother had donated.
Mm-hmm.
He had told his wife, but she couldn't find the information at first. So he had told me he had already donated, and I asked him how.
Mm-hmm.
So I was waiting. I didn't do it right away when he had told me. I waited to receive the check from this organization because I had gone and called the IRS because we are a non-for-profit 501c3, which we have to make reports in Internal Revenue and all our donors or whatever, we have to file those reports. So this particular organization sent the check, well, sent a check that the same amount the brother said he donated. And it had a condition on it. It told me that if I deposited this check, it was under certain conditions. Now, the brother donated the money. He's supposed to donate it to the head of your support foundation. But some kind of way, this organization is collecting money. I don't know in what other organization name. Like I said, I called the IRS. When you call them, you have to stay on the phone a long time. So I have the information, right. But I would deposit the check because it has certain conditions on it. So they probably are getting money.
I just want to ask you, would it be proper at this time, or we don't want to get ahead of any investigation, that we don't want to violate the investigation, but if you can mention the name of the ones who are doing the misdeed, so that
mm-hmm.
in case someone else runs across that name.
The Network of Good. That's the one.
The Network
now, I don't know
okay.
of Good. So I don't know whether the brother Googled the foundation, but it has the foundation name, I assume, because his wife, when I was talking to her, she went on the internet. She said at first she could not see it, and then she scrolled on down, and then she finally found it, and it was another organization. I forget what it's talking about, Charity Navigator, but my concern is
mm-hmm.
that I'm letting everyone know, do not do that, because other people might be doing the same thing with any organization that you want to donate to. Then you contact that organization directly. Don't Google, because there's so many scammers that's doing it, because, you know, they were scamming the IRS. They were calling you and telling you if you didn't do something at the same time that they were going to have you arrested.
Right.
That's what I want to caution people.
Right.
Not donate
right.
to anything when you Google it. And it pop up because what they had was the foundation's name and our IEN number. So when I talked to them, the IRS, they said, well, it's public. Now, I'm assuming your IEN number is like your Social Security number for an individual. It's not just made free, but the Network of Good have the
right.
foundation's name on their website with the IEN
right.
number.
EIN number, yes. Okay. Thank you.
That's
well,
your business contact.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you for letting us know. Yeah, and I'll
mm-hmm.
be on the lookout for it.
Yes,
you
sir.
But you have a very beautiful foundation.
Yes, sir. Sir?
You have a very beautiful foundation. You have a beautiful foundation. Been around for 25 years. Have done a lot of good for many, many youth who never would have made it to college, maybe. And we have to protect that. So
yes,
thank
sir.
You for calling in, sister.
And I also want to let the listeners know, also through the foundation, we help the pioneers and the children, not just going to school, but other areas and things and stuff, too. So thank you all so much. And like I said, may Allah bless you all to keep up with work and words make peace.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you
sir. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, yes. Shaitan is all the time busy. He's all the time busy.
Never stops.
Yeah, so we have, you remember Muhammad said, Satan is too ugly, too big for us to defeat. He said, so you don't fight Satan directly. He said, you fight the schemes of Satan. Because Satan has no power over us, but he's so devious, he go to the extreme to even being right to throw us off. So he said, Imam Muhammad said, fight the schemes of Satan. And the Quran says, Imam Muhammad, he reminded us. So let's get into our conversation. And once again, people, open your thinking caps. You may hear information and ideas on what you think you already have been taught. But we may give it a different understanding or shed a different light on things that have already been told to us. want to go to the book. You know, there's a book we recently put out, and we're working on the second edition of the commentary on the Quran, on selected verses of the Quran, by email W.D. Muhammad. And we're going to begin on page 254. For those who have the book, they can follow along with us. And then on the way, excuse me, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
Tell us just a little bit. We didn't want to get just a small snippet of your book. Where can we get it? And what you're trying to do. If you can keep it a minute or two, please.
Okay, yeah. So the name of this book, Alhamdulillah, praise be to God. The name of the book is called Jesus and Muhammad, Two Rays of the Same Light. Two Rays of the Same Light. The book is available on Amazon. It's on actually all of the online book vendors such as Amazon Books, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Goodreads. It's in certain Barnes, physically in certain Barnes & Noble stores here in Atlanta, as well as in several libraries. The book was published actually in 2018, and it's been out for quite some time. And so, you know, it's there. The subject matter is very, very intense. I took about a good year just to even write this book. A lot of that time was research, trying to cross my T's, dot my I's, and just going back just to make sure that the information was consistent and wrote in such a way that the most scholarly could read it, as well as the person who don't have a college education could read it and benefit from it, God willing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So how much is the book?
The book as a paperback on Amazon is $13.99. The Kindle version is only $5.99. And the audiobook is somewhere around the same price. So it's available on all three platforms as a paperback, as a Kindle, and you can even listen to it on Audible as well as on iTunes as an audiobook. I wanted to make this information available on every platform. And if it's possible, I'm going to try to make it in Braille one day, as well as have the book translated into Spanish, as well as to have the book translated into Spanish.
Right. So if the book, would it be beneficial to Muslims and non-Muslims as well, or Christians also?
Oh, it's going to be quite beneficial. In fact, on that point, I'll make this point right quick. There's a gentleman I've been in correspondence with very recently here. His name is Dr. Craig Considine. Dr. Craig Considine. He has a book out, by the way. The name of his book is called The Humanity of Muhammad. Now, Dr. Craig Considine is a very noble Christian brother that I've been in correspondence with for quite some time now. He by the way, has my book, the book that we're talking about right now, Jesus and Muhammad, Two Rays of the Same Light. He has my book, and he has a chapter of his book called Muhammad, the Spirit of Truth. Now, it's very coincidental because in my book, I have a chapter called Muhammad, the Spirit of Truth. And in that chapter, I connect some of the verses from the Bible, from the New Testament, where Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is announcing, he's prophesizing, he's speaking of the one that would come after him. And one of the colloquial expressions that he used, he referred to this one as the Spirit of Truth. And so in my chapter, I made connections with some of the nicknames that our prophet was referred to as Al-Amin, and El Sadiq, which meaning he was the truthful, and he was also known as the dependable, the trustworthy, the commendable. And mind you, these nicknames that was given to Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, was before the Quran. So I made those connections in my book, and surprisingly, Dr. Craig Considine, who happens to be a very good brother, he's a good Christian brother, he has a book out. It's called The Humanity of Muhammad. So It's very compelling. I urge everyone. My book, by the grace of God, has been, if you will, credentialed. I have some PhDs. I wanted to make sure that in terms of my research, in terms of the information that I was putting out, was consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some PhDs that really, 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 really embraced my book and endorsed it. So yes, so Muslims and non-Muslims alike will benefit greatly from this book.
All right. Okay. Yes. And I read the book, and it's a very good read just from the beginning. just to compare it to the session her with the Lord's Prayer.
That's
how the book begins, showing a very striking analogy between the Fatiha, which is the opening chapter of the Quran, and the Lord's Prayer as shared within the Christian community. Now, thank you for that.
Alhamdulillah.
We're going to get into our conversation. So, in the book Commentary of the Quran by Imam Muhammad, on page 254, I'm going to begin there. And this beginning of this book at this point is speaking about the situation that Muhammad found himself in, just on the cusp, on the point just before he was to come into prophethood, and the weight and the burden upon him in trying to make advances in his society. He was being oppressed in his society. And the Imam says here in the book, the social potential in Muhammad was oppressed. His environment oppressed his social potential, and it got so painful to him that he had to leave his environment and go to the cave. In seclusion and strained to get revelation or some kind of help from whatever God was responsible for his being and the creation. In time, he was pressed three times. Muhammad the Prophet was pressed three times. It says, feed food living, or three veils of darkness. That's how the Imam expresses. He was pressed three times, and the third time he received the light, the communication, he began to read Revelation. Now, for those of us who are Muslims, we know this report, the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. He was struggling with his condition and his society, of all the evils and the wrongs going on. He himself had not succumbed to those evils and wrongs, nor did he succumb to worshiping the idols. They had 369 different idols. So Muhammad, in his character, he had maintained the pure human state, even in a very difficult situation, but now he wants answers. He wants to understand what's going on. How can we solve this situation? So the Imam was saying that the Prophet and his social potential was oppressed. It was oppressed. Next in this book, Imam Muhammad, he began to speak about Jesus, Christ Jesus, peace be upon Christ Jesus. And Imam says, so where was he, referring to the Prophet? So where was he, the Prophet Muhammad? So where was he before he received revelation, before he began to be revealed to? Where was he? Understand that he was the Word too, living, demonstrating, communicating clearly, rationally to us in the world, not by signs like Jesus. You're going to pause there, brothers, in this audience. This is important for us to understand that before Prophet Muhammad received the revelation in that case, he too was the Word of God. He was living it. He was demonstrating it. That's what Brother Kareem just said. He was known as the trustworthy one, Al-Amin. He was known as a trusted friend, As-Siddiq. He was known by these characteristics. Muhammad was known by these characteristics before he received revelation. This is important for us to process during this program today, that Muhammad was already living the Word of God before he received the revelation, and he was communicating clearly, rationally to us in the world, but not by signs. Christ Jesus demonstrated by science than that Muhammad is saying here. He is not the word, referring to Muhammad. He is not the word communicating by signs like Jesus. He is the word communicating with clear, rational language in the world. So he, and using the language of signs, we are speaking in giving understanding to symbolic messages. So Imam Muhammad would make a very good point. He said he's not saying that as a physical person that Muhammad is returned to Jesus. He's not saying that. And he wanted to be very clear. He said, don't go tell nobody that because you'd be lying and you'd be wrong. He said, I didn't say he, Muhammad, was Jesus. I'm talking in the language of signs, fulfilling a sign. We read earlier that Jesus and his mother, I'm going to read it now. It says, Allah says, and we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. This is the Quran, chapter 22, verse 30. Allah said, we made them, or Ja'alna ibn Maryam, or Ummatu Ayatim. Allah says, you made both Christ Jesus and his mother a sign. And we said that Muhammad is coming to fulfill the sign, not the person of Jesus, but he is to fulfill the sign that Christ Jesus brought. So your mouth said, I am these. He said, and I distinguish between Muhammad and Jesus. So Jesus was the word communicating by signs, and Muhammad is the word communicating to us with clear, rational language. So we have to make that point very clear. So in just in getting my conversation started, I wanted to ask about your brothers. I hope that my other brother, who he was joining us today, locally, but I don't see his number yet. But anyway, if I'd like to get some comments on what we read so far. Anybody there?
Well, Alhamdulillah. We right here with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll let Kareem
go first.
Alhamdulillah. Thanks, everybody, man. So I would just say, you know, on that sign, you know, something interesting that I had thought about, although I didn't expound on it in this book currently, in my very first book entitled, Then Which of the Favors of Your Lord Will You Deny?, there's a section in there where I try to give a little synopsis of some of the major, you know, I don't want to say major prophets. I try to give a little synopsis of some of the prophets, of them being Jesus and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I'm tying that into what you just read from the Quran about the sign and what Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, may Allah's mercy be on him, the connection he was making between the two. I'll share this right here. So Allah, the Most High, mentions of Prophet Jesus as being a kalimutun. Kalimutun as a sign. This is in the Quran, mm-hmm. And most of us associate Kalimutun as a word, but also as a sign, as a word. So just think about this for a moment. So you have the word. So you have the Kalimutun, right? Now think about this. Mm-hmm. When Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he went to that cave that you were speaking of, because his soul, his whole fixer was being oppressed by his environment. When he went to that cave, and Allah showed his rahmah to him through the angel Jibril, the first thing that was said to him was, Iqra, read. Now think about this here. So the connection right there, just even on the surface level, here you have the word that preceded him, that was Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, which is the kalimutun, the word, and then the first thing revealed to the prophet is read. Now look at those, there's your first connection just on the surface. What do you do with words? You read them. You read words. Words don't read you. Right. You read the word. So that's the same connection of addition to multiplication. See, when you multiply, you are not taking just 3 + 3 = 6. When you multiply, you're putting into practice the theoretical concept of what 3 + 3 means. So Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him, was the actualization of everything that Allah put in Jesus, peace be upon him, as a sign of what was to come. And I actually go into that, into my book, when Prophet Jesus spoke about what would come with the one that came after him. So there's your sign,
mm-hmm.
and there's the word. Muhammad read that was inscribed in Prophet Christ as a sign. Allah blessed Prophet Muhammad to actualize that, to put that into actualization, so that historians and people who
That's
researched
right.
it can see that empire and see that community development. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, but yeah, thank you. Very well said. But Imam Ayman, any comments?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Very well put, said Brother Kareem. Very well said. I got to get that book too. You know.
Alhamdulillah.
But going back to the Bible quote that you quoted about the spirit of truth, and that quote in there that says, it is expedient, you know. In other words, I got to hurry up and get out of here. It's
That's
expedient.
Right.
It is expedient. I got to hurry up and leave, man. It's expedient that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you.
Yes.
And when he has
mm-hmm.
come, I hope I'm quoting it right. When
yes.
he has come,
I'll be when he comes. Yeah.
Yeah. He will.
Mm-hmm.
He will guide you into all truths.
Yes.
Universal truth.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what the Quran is in its actuality. So Jesus, peace be upon him, in his example in the life, the sign, he's a sign. It says him and his mother Mary were a sign. You know, and Jesus was, and a sign is something that gives you, a sign is a message. And also
yes.
a sign gives you direction, you know. You know,
mm-hmm.
a sign, when you're on the freeway, you know, it you know that sign that says fewer lanes ahead, you know.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
If you don't take heed to the direction of where that sign is leading you, man, you're going to run into the wall.
There you
know?
Go.
So Jesus is pointing to Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace upon him. And Muhammad the prophet now is in the world as a manifestation, as universal truth, and really bringing in the destiny and the completion of revelation. That's a wonderful way to look at
yes,
that.
Sir.
You know, I hope
yes,
people can see it very plainly like we do. You know, Muhammad
yeah.
is Katab al-Nabiyyin. He's the seal of the prophets, you know. And when you put a seal
yes.
on something, you can't put nothing in and can't take nothing out. It's done. It's finished. He was the final
sure.
building block, the final building
yes.
block of prophethood in the earth. And Jesus was really pointing to him. That's the whole message.
Yeah. And I'd like to take a moment here, if I may, because I want to make sure those, in particular those who may not be Muslim, you know, who have not the right to make direct with what the Quran is saying, therefore not with what we may be saying to the degree that we have grown into for over many years, if not decades, is that, just to be clear, that the life and mission of Christ Jesus was not completed except for the purpose of setting the stage for something else to come after him, or someone else to come after him. And what we are saying here, just and I can say it quite succinctly, is that Muhammad the prophet came to fulfill those things of the goal of the Comforter and the others. And so for those who may not be familiar with what Islam is saying, get you a Quran. If you know me, I'll get you a Quran. When you have questions, you can ask. You can ask me, and I highly encourage you to ask a Muslim, a learned Muslim, and to get into the language of the Imam Muhammad as one of his students. So when Imam, he goes here next, he begins talking about the cave. When Muhammad first received the revelation, he went to the cave. And we know there in Mecca, now called the Mountain of Light, when Muhammad first went in there, he didn't have that name yet. We say in Arabic, Jabal Nur, which means the Mountain of Light. But when Muhammad the Prophet was first in there, he was called Mahira, and that's an old pagan name. But Muhammad was about to turn the paganism away, or turn the light on within the pagan situation. Within the pagan situation. Now, we're going to make connections, I do hope. I pray that we make connections. You remember Muhammad is saying here, in the same book, page 255, I believe here, that the cave is symbolic of the human skull. You know how you see a skeleton and they have the head, the skull, S-K-U-L-L. The cave is symbolic of the human skull. Imam Muhammad says, the cave means dead. It means the mind is dead. The mind refused to have any light of its own. The cave really is a picture of the skull. They do not want to tell you the skull because it is kind of horrifying. They do not tell you he went into a skull, into a human skull. Prophet Muhammad went into a human skull. But what, the man was going to say, but that is what the cave really means. The wise would tell you the cave is the cave of man's skull. It means he emptied out all his brains. So I'm going to speak on this for a few minutes and hope that we can make a connection. Because if we understand what this is saying to us here, and I'm going to share what I got from it, and I'd like for you all to share what we got on it. Brother Bashir, I've not forgotten you. I'm bringing you on too. But let me share this here. The connection with what the Imam Muhammad is saying here, that the cave that the Prophet went into, if you want to think he climbed a hill and went into a cave, that's okay. I'm sure he did that. But it's pointing to a higher message. It don't mean a cave in a hill. It means he went into his own head, to his own thinking. So what is the connection with Christianity? How can we connect this cave that Muhammad went into with Christianity? If Muhammad the Prophet, as we just said, was the one to come after Christ Jesus, then Muhammad would have to pick up where Christ Jesus left off. Does that make sense? No, when a person passes the baton in the relay race to the next person, there has to be a connection between the first runner and the next runner, or the current yes. runner and the next runner. There has to be a connection. So if Muhammad began getting the word of God in a cave that we're now saying is a skull, then Jesus' mission has to end the same way. Otherwise, y'all can say, well, there's no connection. But we got the connection. Do the Christians say, or where do the Christians say that Jesus was crucified at? Anybody know the answer? What is the Christian answer? They say on where? On Calvary. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They use an Aramaic word, but with this Calvary. What is the Aramaic word? Golgotha. G-O-L. I'm starting to check it right down. Because anything we say today, we can back it up. And we challenge you. We challenge you. With a capital C, we challenge you. Those who don't want to go along with it, we dare you. We go back to childhood. I D-double dare you. You know how we get back in the day, right? I dare you. I'm serious. What does Golgotha mean? Brother Kareem, I know you know. What does Golgotha mean?
And
You got the mic. I'm gonna let you go ahead on. Keep going, brother.
Okay. Golgotha means the skull.
Yes, it's the skull. Yes. Yes.
That's right. It means, and a skull is what used to hold a brain.
Yeah.
Hold the intellect. However, they was empty. And they say
that's right.
And it was up on the hill of Calvary. Now you all right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. And she's gonna look up,
right.
Go look up the word. Go look up the word Calvary. It's from the Latin word calva. C-A-L-V-A. That's where Calvary comes from. Calva. What does Calvary mean? It can mean the bald head. It also means the skull. So,
there you go.
Good God Almighty. Jesus left.
That's
Jesus
right.
left.
Yep.
When they say he left in the skull, and Muhammad came back in the skull.
That's right.
That's it.
All right.
All right.
You got that? Okay,
oh,
so
yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say there's numerous connections. There's numerous connections. Alhamdulillah. Keep going, brother.
Hey,
many connections.
Well, we got to share one with us. You can't say that and not share us. You just give us one, two connections. Go ahead.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that other connection, well, you notice in that cave, and that skull, and that, you know, metaphoric as well as that physical cave, the angel Jibril, alayhi salam, when he pressed the prophet, how many times did he press him?
Three times.
Now, those same three, believe it or not, has an allusion to the same reference in John where Prophet Christ was speaking of the Comforter, because he says, as Imam Amen was speaking, he said, I have many things to say to you. This is in John 16, chapter 7 through 14. He says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But he says that the one that come after him, he said he will reprove the world of three things. He said he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Yes.
See, those same three that Prophet Christ, he put that there as part of the resume of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Yeah,
that he would reprove the world of righteousness, of sin, but that ain't enough. We also needed to reprove the world of judgment. And that judgment has allusion to how you coexist with your fellow man. That's why key things was mentioned in Prophet Muhammad's last sermon, his Khutbatul Wada. He mentioned some of those things that when Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. That's like Amen said. He said, I got to go. So the average person of the Christian faith, the devout Christians, we love you, our brothers and sisters. And just like I love my mother, may she rest in peace, who was a Christian, brought me up this way. I remember presenting to her some perplexing questions that I had as a youth, as I was being introduced to this religion. And I thought about this right here.
Mm-hmm.
If Christ Jesus says, I got many things, he didn't say a few. He said, I got many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. I would have to ask myself, what might some of those things be? It's probably the same things that Prophet Muhammad came with. There you have
it. Yes, sir.
Beautiful connection.
Yeah, but tell us that the verse again, where it says.
Yeah, that verse is in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14. I have it because I use it as one of the key references in my book. Those three things that he was referring to. Yes, John chapter 6, John chapter 16, and it's the verses 7 through 14. He says, you know, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So there's your three, just like when the prophet was pressed three times. There's so many connections.
Mm-hmm.
I just pass the mic now. I leave it right there. Alhamdulillah.
I'll tell you what. My brother Bashir, he's been on hold so long. He probably thought I forgot about him. Brother Bashir, assalamu alaikum. Anything you want to say?
I know you hadn't forgot about me. Assalamu alaikum to all of our guests. Yeah, what I'd like to bring to the discussion, one is our good brother Kareem, his book, in the in your investigation and putting your book together, we know that Imam Waqi Muhammad brought this concept to us that the physical Jesus would not be coming back. We shouldn't think of that way. But in investigation in your book, we know many Muslims have the idea of the physical Jesus coming back. Did you find the same concept that the Imam gave us in Muslim scholars in the past? Or what is the significance? This is one question. What is the significance of Imam Waqi Muhammad bringing that concept to us? Also,
yes, sir. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
One other thing I'd like to bring to the conversation, and we're talking about seeing Jesus and Muhammad together and the excellence in their natures and the idea of the Immaculate Conception. Imam Waqi Muhammad, in speaking on the Immaculate Conception, he said, "I am an Immaculate Conception." So I'd like to bring that to the table for discussion in this connection with Jesus and Muhammad. Also, Imam Waqi Muhammad, when he early in his mission, when he came in the office, he said, I am speaking to the African-American people. I am your Moses. I am your Jesus. I am your Muhammad. One other thing I'd like to bring to the table, too, is the significance of Mary, the mother of the prophet Jesus, and her connection to
yes,
this pristine nature. The last thing is that both Prophet Muhammad and Jesus, they both came to correct the religious knowledge there at their time. So I'll put that on the table.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, Brother Bashir, you have, you know, they got to call the Last Supper, you know, the table spread. I think we're going to have to get out that leaf. You know, they take the table and they make it a little longer and they put that leaf in the middle. Because you put two or three programs in what you supposed to put out here today. Yeah, we're going to get to it as much as we can because they're all important. And inshallah, we're going to merge them in as we go along. So, but I'm going to have Brother Kareem respond to the question you asked about his investigation. And somebody got some background noise too. Okay.
Yes, sir. So on that first question, on that first point that Brother Bashir brought up, I did find in my research, I was looking at different scholars' contribution. On this subject, and to be honest with you, I found what I may consider to be like two classes of mindsets, if you will. One of which that elevators only went to certain floors; they only went to certain connections. But then there were others, definitely, our Imam Muhammad being the premier conductor of that elevator, whose their thoughts, their ability to look at abstract connections related to factual or physical descriptions, they went to much higher floors. And so on that topic of the prophet Jesus returning, most of the ones that I took a liking to, they were of the mindset that obviously, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, that Jesus, the physical blood, flesh and blood person from over 2,000 years ago, is not going to be coming back. And so it has to be referring to and alluding to something that is abstract, something that you can't put your physical hands on, but it's something that your eyes will see.
Mm-hmm.
And that same connection, and I made the same point in my book, is the same connection that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said when he said, and I quote, before the end of time, the world will see Jesus and I as one. So now you have to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may think, okay, are they going to see Jesus, Muhammad standing physically side by side, or is that something on the abstract? And it's obviously alluded to something on the abstract. And a point I try to make in that book is that day has already come. And I'm telling you, you might, if you don't remember this name, I told you his name is Craig Considine. Now, Craig Considine is a Christian PhD who has a book out right now. You can go on Amazon or in books in Barnes & Noble. He has a book out. It's called Humanity. Considine is C-O-N-S-I-D-I-N-E. Considine. And he's also on YouTube. Yeah, Craig Considine. C-O-N.
You say a C.
Yes, C is in cat. C O N S S I D I N E. Craig Considine. His book is called The Humanity of Muhammad. I just was actually in conference with him last week. He's sending me an autographed copy of the book because he already had my book, and I was surprised to learn that he already had my book, Jesus and Muhammad, Two Rays of the Same Light. Yes, and he's on YouTube right now. You can look up that same name, Craig Considine, who's a Christian, very respectable, very knowledgeable Christian. But he has a YouTube subject called, it's called Muhammad, the Spirit of Truth. So he's already looking at some of these connections that we're talking about right now. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
And I was honored, I must say. Yeah. I was honored, in fact, to learn that he got my book. So alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Very good. So good. You know, I mean, anything you want to say before we move forward? Okay. Yeah, so I wanted to just follow up on, at least on right now, one of the concerns that Brother Bashir brought up. As far as Imam Muhammad used to phrase that I am an immaculate conception. You know, the word immaculate is really the I am is saying it's not. If you take the I am off, you got knucklet. That means bad or evil. Bad or evil. When you put the I am in the front, it comes immaculate. Am is saying not. It's not immaculate. It's not evil. It's not wicked. In the Christian thought, what they are saying is that it is not tied to the sin of Adam and his wife Eve.
Right.
That's what they're saying in the Christian thinking. That Christ Jesus, being of a virgin birth, broke that bloodline. They believe that evil was passed down from generation to generation. But by Jesus having a virgin birth, then he broke that connection with Adam. And really, Jesus is called the second Adam. Okay. But he is immaculate. And the word conception is the Christian thinking. They think of a physical, biological birth, conception of a woman becoming pregnant. So the immaculate conception in the Christian thinking is that Mary, she conceived this child without going through the bloodline of Adam for that line of sin, the line of sin. But even on that, that has a need for being rectified, dear listeners, because Mary came from that same line. So, and they say that through the bloodline of Mary, that Jesus is the son of David, and David is the son of go back to Adam. So, but that's a whole different conversation. But for I think what Brother Bashir is alluding to and what I'm about to say, the word immaculate conception is not speaking about the physical birth. A conception is an ideal. When you conceive an ideal, and you conceive an ideal, you conceive knowledge by way of the intellect. So the impregnation was not of the impregnating of a 12-year-old girl by the Holy Spirit. The impregnation was the word of God during the impregnation. That was the word of life that was there. And that the Imam Muhammad making the claim, and rightfully so, that he is an immaculate conception is referring to that his mind, M-I-N-D, his thinking did not come from that of man. It didn't come from his father. It didn't come from W.D. Farrar. It didn't come from no one but God himself. Imam Muhammad's thinking, his intellect, came from Almighty God himself. So that is an immaculate conception, the ideas. And so when you read the information, the teachings, the knowledge of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad, you will see light and insights that you say, no one could have given this to him except God. It's rooted in the Quran, in the foundation of the Quran. It's rooted in Scripture, in the foundation of Scripture. It's respectful of all the prophets. But the conclusion that Imam Muhammad brings us to is like, where did that come from? And it makes so much sense. So that is a immaculate conception. And one step further, we have immaculate conceptions too. We have ideas that come to us that we don't know where it came from, but it makes perfect sense, and we get tremendous benefits from it. It came from God. God performed a immaculate conception. Immaculate means not filthy, not evil. And conception means an idea or knowledge. And so God would touch all human beings that way. At one time or another, God has touched. If everybody here listening today would be honest about it, things have come to us. We didn't know where it came from. Now, Brother Iron, back in the day, we used to call it a hunch. We used to call it my first mind. You know, back in the day, we used to call it a hunch on my first mind. You say, oh, man, I should listen to my first mind because I would have been right. And no one told you that but God. But God, that is also an immaculate conception. And one of the reasons why we can't see Imam Muhammad and others, it's because, you know, let me stick with Imam Muhammad. One of the reasons why we can't see the beauty of Imam Muhammad is because we only see Wallace. We don't see Walter Dean. We respect Wallace. He's a nice guy and did this for us. But we miss seeing Walter Dean Muhammad, the inheritor of Muhammad. He tried to help us out. He said, I too follow Imam Walter D. Muhammad. Try to get our brain cells to click. So many of us missing Walter D. Muhammad. Too busy looking at Wallace D. Muhammad only. If I get in trouble for that, I hope it's some of that John Lewis good trouble. Okay. Let's continue. And the phone lines are open, dear people. If you want to press 1 on your phone, you can ask make a comment, make a question, but the comment got to be related to the topic, and it should be short and brief. But let us continue. Let us continue. Where were we at? Yeah, we were still with that cave, right?
Yes, sir. Still with the cave.
Golgotha. See, a lot of times we've been given information. We've been given information, but we haven't been given any insights on the information. They show us a picture of a man hanging up there, and they call him Jesus. The Quran came and says, nope, you didn't do it. You didn't crucify him. But they give us language, and they don't give us insight to the language. So the cave, Imam Muhammad was saying here, while in that cave, all the life of the prophet Muhammad. And I'm still on page, I think I'm on page 255, 256. He says, all the life of the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, of his mind, of his own mind, he emptied it out until there was nothing left but the encasing for that life. In other words, he sacrificed himself to receive the light of God, the word of God. He sacrificed himself completely so that he could receive the light of God. And in that cave, God came to him, and he created him from nothing. From nothing. There was nothing in the cave. Now, keep in mind, when we say cave, I'm saying the skull, okay? Back to what the imam said. He says, nothing in terms of a person. Nothing in terms of enlightenment. There was nothing in terms of a brain that will become Muhammad's brain. There was nothing except the framework, except his uswa. His uswa is the framework. And that's why we read before in the Quran, Allah says, surely in Muhammad, you have the uswa, a beautiful pattern of conduct. The imam goes on to say, referring to this uswa, it is the container for what God is going to put into it. So God actually came to the cave himself. You see, that is what we have to understand. He, Muhammad, went up into the cave of himself, and he made the cave of the skull empty of all his appetites and influences and everything, and he became still, perfectly still, as a completely, totally dead mind or intellect. And he became non-existent, so to speak, pleading to God. He made the best sajda. Sajda, for our listeners, when the Muslim bow down and put our forehead on the ground in complete, total submission to God. So in that cave, Imam Muhammad saying, he, Muhammad, made the best prostration, sajda. He went further than the fetus in the womb. He went back further than dust. He, Muhammad, became non-existence of any reality. As in the reality, he was non-existent in his straining for understanding, perception, enlightenment, guiding for the intellect. In that empty cave, God spoke to his non-existent body. He said, be, kum, fayakum, be, and it is. And when he came down, Muhammad came down from the mountain, said the heavens were in smoke, as smoke in commotion. Now, that's the end of that reading. I guess one the comment on that, we got a couple of callers here. I'm going to get to you here shortly. Callers.
That's a powerful reading, my brother.
Yes, sir. Let me make some comments on that. We were in Athens, Georgia, at a Ramadan session. There's only about 30, 40 imams there before the imam opened it up to the public, the Muslim public. And he was speaking on a very similar concept. And this was, it's better for me to share with you what I got from it. It's the impression of when you're thinking internally and you're in deep thought. It's like the person on the grinding mill. You may talk about that with the name of the city, Milwaukee. Milwaukee, walk the mill till you get the key, right? You walk the mill till you get the key. Same concept here. That Muhammad in the cave, he was grinding on his understanding, turning that wheel, trying to see, what can I get to answer why my society and why mankind is so messed up? So he's thinking. So the thinking is like the person walking in a circle, grinding and grinding and grinding. So you may begin with a whole kernel,
But after a while, it becomes flawed. You know, when you make it weak, then you keep grinding. And that's how his mind was. And now, this is Michael, so he's speaking now, right? This is what I got from it. My shooter said, why in that cave? He said, well, maybe I can get an answer from what my grandfather, Abu Bakr, taught. And he grinded on that and grinded on that until he got nothing from it. That was gone. Well, maybe I can get something for what my society taught. He grinded on that. He grinded on that. Maybe for what my mother, Amina, or maybe, I mean, he exhausted everything trying to get an answer until his skull was empty. He had nowhere else to turn. He had nothing else to do. He was completely empty. All of his cultural bringing, all his education, all his influences in life, he grinded them all down to nothing until his head was empty. And when his head was empty, that means he was nothing. He was nothing. Then Allah says, that's what I want. I wanted nothing because Allah says what? I made my man from what? From nothing. But if Muhammad had held on to just a little grain or a dust of what Abu Mutawad had said or what Amina had said or somebody had said, then they would have gotten in the way of him getting the revelation. But he had to become completely like an empty cave. Golgotha, what the Bible says. He had to pick up in the same state and condition that Christ Jesus left off at. And then came Ikra Bikra Bikra. Read. He said, read what? When nothing else left to read. Yeah, read your Ufwa. Read your excellent character, Muhammad, that God gave you. And no one else gives you. One more fast connection. When Muhammad did get Ikra Bisqira Bikala Bikala, which means in English, read with the name of Yahweh who created. And he got four more verses along with that, right? When he got that, that is the time of mourning. Muhammad was in the cave in the time of mourning, the same time that we eat our morning meal on each day of Ramadan. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus served the Last Supper. What time of day is supper? Is it morning, evening, or night? It's night. Right? What is night? Darkness. So who has to pick up? I'm making connection with Muhammad and Christ Jesus. Muhammad had to begin eating in darkness because Jesus served the last meal in darkness. So one is for going to bed, supper, and so who is for waking up?
That's
right. Yeah. So, cave's connection? Yeah. Food connection? Yes. You're okay. So now, if a Christian really want to see and understand Christ Jesus in his fullness, the brother already said, he said, it's expedient that I go away. I said, I can't tell you all things now. Howbeit, when he come, he will tell you the whole truth, and he will tell you the truth on me. Jesus had to go. And on the way out, he's praying, God, if I have to drink of this bitter cup, I will, but hey, if that's another way, we can do that too. Right? That's Jesus leaving. But look how Muhammad come in on the same identical pattern, the same way that Jesus left, Muhammad came in. Because Muhammad is the fulfillment of Christ Jesus. Peace be upon him. All right.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Excellent.
Praise be to Allah.
I know you just warming up. Keep going.
Well, you know what? Normally it's a 2-hour program, but I plugged in 3 hours because we got some stuff to cover.
people stay as long as you can. You got to leave and come back. You may still be here. Okay? Because this is good information. And, but see, yeah, this is what's pressing me and those, not me as a person. Yeah, me as a person too, but not me only as a person. That we know that Allah has blessed Imam David D. Muhammad with some critical insight. Not normal, not regular insights. And we know that as his students, we have been blessed to come into understanding, and we're still growing into the understanding of what he taught. And we do not want to go to our physical graves and not have shared all that we can share. You don't want to do that. We don't want to wake up on Judgment Day and say, well, Allah, I would have told them, man, but they told me they didn't want to hear that move from stuff. Don't bring that weak excuse on Judgment Day. Mm-mm. Tell it. You say, baby, you better understand it. Well, did you understand the first time you heard it? No. But it made little sense when you kept on to it. So we're going to tell it. May Allah protect us. And we're going to tell it, inshallah. But we got a couple of callers here I want to get to. I know this one number here. He ain't from the ATL. He's from the STL. My brother, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Imam Mikhail Sayer, to your very distinguished, esteemed co-host, and to your very honored guests, and to your very astute listeners here on Warriors Make People. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. This is an excellent topic that you have and a very scholarly discussion of it to bring the truth and the reality to show, you understand, Prophet Isa ibn Maryam and Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is, you know, when you started out, you gave some excellent ayahs from the Quran and also verses from biblical scripture. Want to add one other thing in terms of, you know, starting out with that foundation that Christ Jesus is not God and cannot be God, not even in the flesh at all. I wanted to add that Surah Ikhlas, as Imam Muhammad was teaching us on Surah Ikhlas, he said that Ikhlas actually in its meaning means conclusion. I know he says translated as purity, faith, and rationally you can discern that, as it being purity of faith. But those four ayats in Surah Ikhlas, by the scholars, is said to be one-third of the Quran. And Imam Muhammad said the first two ayats in Surah Ikhlas tell you who God is, emphatically who God is, and the last two, as you know, is only four ayats there, who God is not, who he is not. So it's actually, Lamulan is actually addressing that misconception that many had in terms of God fathering children or even being birth or born, and there is nothing that is comparable like him. There's nothing that we can compare to. So I just wanted to say that. But also...
Well, let me just say real fast, I'm sorry, Surah Ikhlas, that is the 112th chapter.
The 112th, yes. Okay, I should say, yeah, 112th. Chapter of the Quran, for those who don't know what surah is, chapter, we're talking about the 112th chapter of the Quran. So you read that. It's very, very short, one of the surahs of the Quran, very short, four verses, but very, very powerful powerful verses. And the scholars have said that that is one-third of the Quran is often repeated when we make prayer, oftentimes Surah Ikhlas, or chapter 112. The other thing, what it is that you and your guests have given has been outstanding, and especially Imam Mikhail, the tafsir of Imam W.D. Muhammad, want to relate something here. If you all remember, and you were in the community, when Imam Muhammad became the leader in 1975, one of the very profound things that he said that he was not looking for vessels that was full of something. He said he was looking for empty vessels. He was looking for empty vessels to put something in, right? So exactly
right.
What you said, what the Imam is said, in terms of the Prophet Muhammad, you know, getting a beginning where Prophet Isa left out and going into the cave or going into the skull, and we know it's hollow and we know it's dark, and emptying out any and everything, not even his own. You know, he came in a time of jahiliya, ignorance, you know, and usually when you're in an environment, it has influence and impact upon you. But Allah blessed him before he became the prophet to keep that pristine original nature and all. And the uswa Allah speaks of, all that was present. But everything, you understand, like you so eloquently articulated, Imam Muhammad said he had to empty all of that out where there would be no influence there to be the ideal, the perfect vessel. You understand, for to receive this final revelation. That is so very powerful. And that's also a sign to us. I mean, he's the seal of the prophet, so we can't be a prophet or anything like that. But for us, you understand, to get the huda, the guidance, we have to empty out. When we come to this way of life, we have to empty out everything that we even thought we knew. Our own opinions, our own feelings, all of that has to go. You have to die. You have to die. Imam Muhammad said he was nothing. He back further than dust, nothing, so that he could be created. This was the creation. And we find that in Surah Al-Rahman, 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 Ka'an, Kalaka, Insan, Al-Rahman, Huma, Bayan, that Allah, he taught the Quran, he created the man. So, but the conditions, the prerequisites, if you will, you have to you have to just let everything go. And I think in the Quran it mentions Prophet Ibrahim, said he submitted his whole self. And this is what it is that we have to do, is submit our whole self, let go everything, die to all the things that you thought gave you life, and then Allah can and will bless you, you understand, with the guidance.
Well, let me say this here. Well, let me add this to that, because I want to hear from other brothers too. What you're describing, when you let everything go, you get everything go out of that mind, that brain, to become a skull, and then when the word comes next, ikra, that is the immaculate conception. The ikra itself.
Yes.
It's an immaculate, pure conception idea.
That's right. And that was beautiful, Brother Imam Mikhail Sayer. You know, I'm so thankful and grateful that you gave the tafsir, for those who are not Muslim, clear explanation. And I know sometimes we say commentary, but, you know, there are people that give commentary, but it's not clear. It's not clear. Imam Muhammad's tafsir is clear explanation of the Quran and the life example of the Prophet. This is very important for us to understand. Clear explanation. Now, when you hear that, when you hear that, it registers in your soul first before maybe your mind can catch up with it, but it. when I know I listened to the brothers, was they, your guests, your, and all, they was listening. The brother kept telling you, keep on going, email Mikhail, like, you're just warming up. Because it registers in your soul, but you, your mind will continue to dwell on that the rest of the day, next tomorrow, next week, next month, in terms of this. Because this is one of the mysticism in terms of Immaculate Conception. But Imam Muhammad made it simplified, and it made it so very simple and very clear in explaining Immaculate Conception. So I want to thank you for actually bringing that up, what the Imam had given to us, so that you can see that this is possible for us, and it happens. As you related, you know, I should have followed that first mind. This is Allah speaking to us first and foremost, and all. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I know some other callers who want to have stuff to say, but thank you, and this is an excellent production here on IWDM, Words Make People, and this is an excellent topic.
Thank you.
Well,
before you go, just take...
Yes, sir.
Yeah, before you go, just take 15 seconds. I know.
Okay. Okay, I can do that, Brother Imam. And thank you so much. I want to just say that each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM, we have a new production starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab will be aired here on AM 360 Radio each and every Wednesday. And then immediately following that will be the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I always have very distinguished, esteemed guests on there, inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us of community. And this Wednesday, my distinguished and esteemed guest will be none other than our beloved brother, Imam Mikhail Sair. And you don't want to miss that interview. We're going to find out some things about Imam Sair that perhaps many of you don't know. You know he's a talk show here, so words make people. But, the phone number is 714-816-4673. So that's 714-816-4673. Words Made People. And then on Thursday, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and yours truly. Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, and 4 Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM. Thank you so much, Imam Mikhail Sair, for giving me the opportunity to let the people know that. And please tune in. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. You can call the same number. You call it today. Call it on the times that Brother Mustard he shared with you. And
yes, 714-816-4673. That's the number for IWDM. All of the productions, the same number that you call in for Words Make People. That also would get you into those learning labs and also the MGM roundtable. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alaikum assalam. Before going to our next caller, either will you, Brother Kareem, or you know, I may have a comment before going to our next caller.
Well, no, I like what Brother Mark Shaheed said. I love what he said. Alhamdulillah. He kind of reiterated what you just read from the book about emptying out, how the Prophet had to empty out everything, you know, that from this world, you know, from this world, you know, and reflecting on the Quranic ayat, in Surah Al-Baqarah, I forgot the exact verse or ayat, where it says, "Mutu thumma ahyahum," die that you may live, die and then again live, you know. And I think that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about die to the mind that this world gave you, because the light of this world is darkness when it comes to revelation. Again,
right.
The light of this world darkness when it comes to revelation. And so we have to die to the mind of this world. We have to die to it, man. And I tell people sometimes, I say, look, man, die as a Negro and come alive as a Muslim.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And
you know,
so,
but in the commentary that we just read, Imam Muhammad said he said that. Let me just read it again. Well, what you just said, Brother Ayman. He talked about the sacrifice that the prophet made. He made, let's see, I had an underline. Oh, well, it's not showing up right now.
Well, that's okay. No, alhamdulillah. Well, we know he did sacrifice a lot, and Allah says in the Quran, you know, and that quote, you know, that ayat, it says, "It's not you they hate, Muhammad, but it is the revelation that has been revealed to you that they hate." As long as if Muhammad would have went along with the ways of his ancestors and the ways of the leaders there in Mecca at that time, they would have fell in love with him because he would have been pushing their thing, you see. But he wasn't coming.
Right.
He didn't come with that. He came with revelation.
Mm-hmm.
He came with revelation.
Right.
And so this is the problem, man, you know.
You hear this right here. Yeah, I found it. He says, Muhammad will say,
read it.
He said, all the life of the prophet, of his own mind, he emptied it out until there was nothing left but the encasing for that life. In other words, he sacrificed himself to receive the light of God, the word of God. He sacrificed himself completely so that he could receive the light of God. And so, and then when he died to this world, he was nothing. And then he's made again, alhamdulillah. So, we got another caller I want to get to.
Let me say this. Yeah, let me just say this right there before you go. You know, that statement you had made about we couldn't see Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad because we were looking at Wallace.
Yeah.
Imam Muhammad, I think he told us, too, that we must look at him and seek him in the light of revelation and the light of the word of God also. Because that's what he was representing. That's where he was coming from. You know. And I've seen Imam Muhammad even more clearly. When I read the Quran during Ramadan, or when I read the Quran, I'm constantly seeing Imam Muhammad, you know, in the role that he was living in this world, trying to uphold the word of God as Prophet Muhammad and all the prophets did. I see it more and more. You know, and then I like what Kareem had said earlier, too, about that what Khadija said about the Usfatin, the excellence of Muhammad, and how that's what Imam Muhammad did. When he came in office, all he did was brought us to the excellent model of human nature that he was trying to exemplify also to us, because he was a follower of that then. And all he did was lifted that up. And we embraced it. And we embraced it because we have
that in us, too. Amen.
And we wanted to embrace it and connect with that because we knew that that was a part of us. That was a part of us, you know. And that last note, you remember that movie? E.T.? Remember that movie E.T. and how they had a problem with E.T.? Except for the children.
Right.
The children, they love E.T. The children love E.T. Remember that?
They did.
But the grown ups, they couldn't deal with E.T. Because when you look at E.T., that's the word et. And et means you. And they was looking at their human nature and they couldn't stand it because they was so far away from human nature and the natural pattern of growth and development for human beings that they were scared of it. They were scared of it.
Yes, sir.
But the children,
they
embraced it because the children are more closer to the natural fitrah. I just had to say that. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. We have a caller here I want to get to. But were you going to say something before I went to the caller?
I'll yield to the caller. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. This caller has been very patient. Caller from 706. Caller from 706. Can you give us your first name and your city?
Yeah, the album C. Muhammad, Columbus, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
And many wonderful things that Allah bless y'all to talk about so far, you know, the birth of Esau, in the Word and how Esau told us about the coming of the full, complete Word in Prophet Muhammad side of Islam and his preparation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him by telling him and explaining to him to clear, you know, all of his influences and in his mind and his experiences and pain and suffering, to clear his mind from that, because Allah is telling us the same thing here in our time. You know, you have to clear your mind, because if you don't, you will not be able to receive the Quran on your heart. And he put the Quran on his heart, on Prophet Muhammad's heart, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that the heart will give the mind new meaning, new clarity, new words, new guidance, new sight, new et cetera. It all comes from the brain and function and the working of the brain. So, again, one of the things that we want to experience the Immaculate Conception in our day and time, and I think you will see the world will be shocked when they see the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad accept this Immaculate Conception, that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger, and that for us who believe in the Immaculate Conception, establish Deen al-Islam.
Not me. Thank you. That is very well said. I'm glad that you reminded us of that part, that once the heart was, I mean, once the head was clear, of the world's confusion, the revelation didn't come to the prophet's head. It came to his heart. And that's very important. I'm glad that you brought that out. It came to his heart, because his heart was pure. His heart was clean.
And that's a sign to us. That's what our problem is today. We have to let Al-Islam come to our heart, where all this anger and pain and suffering of the history of our life here in America and our future, all the pain and suffering is there in the heart. Once we clear the mind to relieve itself of that, and we replace it with the Quran, you know, then we will see a new clear vision than what we already have through the mercy of Allah sent us in the calling of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Well, let me ask you a question on that, and this is to everybody. Maybe that's why Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart. So there has to be a connection between the brain and the heart, but it's your heart. And the Prophet Muhammad said that too, right? So there's a muscle of flesh.
Yep.
If it is whole,
yep,
the whole body is whole. If it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt, and he pointed to the heart three times. So there's a connection between the Prophet's mind being cleared of all the other confusion, and his heart receiving the revelation.
Because your pulsation is what gives your brain the oxygen to live. So when your heart is following the guidance that Allah puts in it, your brain, your whole body is feeling better because it's getting fresh oxygen, fresh words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Quran that is in our heart.
No doubt about it.
Let me say just real quickly. So that's what Allah says. He's closer to us than I juggle a ring. Come on now.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right, brother.
Exactly.
That's right. You know, and a perfect example is that when a lot of time I get up for Fajr, man, I'm dead beat tired. And we have Fajr together in a group, you know, out here in Los Angeles, you know, on the phone, you know, freeconferencecall.com.
Yes,
thank Allah for freeconferencecall.com. And thank Allah for Imam Mikhail, because Imam turned me on to it. But when I get up, man, sometimes I be so tired, man. I be telling, look, man, I ain't going to even get I'll just pray with y'all, but I can't read today. But, man, the minute I start reading the Quran and we get into the discussion, my whole body is revitalized. Rejuvenated.
Well,
I'm telling you, that's the truth.
Please let me say this. And remember, from the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that before we put our foot on the floor, we take the first breath, subhanAllah, the second breath, alhamdulillah, the third breath, Allahu Akbar, you know, and the testimony of the fourth breath, la ilaha. That's putting new life back into the heart in order to face the day and get up when we have the tiredness on us.
Beautiful.
Alhamdulillah. Right. Now that's like a remedy that can't no doctor beat. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you
I like
very
that.
Much, brother. MLC. Yeah, I love it. I like it. Yeah. Thank you very much. You know, we have 3 o'clock,
love
but I have on some more time. And people, so for people who can, as our brother Mark Muhammad, he will say, who can stick and stay. Don't, how you say it, don't sway away. I got balls for my brother Mark. I hope you don't mind. We gonna keep this conversation going because I'm not even done with my notes yet. All right. We're going to go. Thank you, brother. And we'll see you go to our next caller here. This caller is from 856. A call from 856. Can you give us your first name and city?
Jersey calling in.
Eight five six. We can hardly hear you. Like you must be. Are you on Bluetooth or something? So we can hardly hear you.
856 that way.
You have a question or comment, please?
Whoever it was, they on mute? It must be on mute.
Mm-hmm. No, we can hear you, but she can't hear us, I guess. Go ahead. Okay, well, we can come back to her. No. Okay, 856, can you hear us? Okay, well, we'll come back to her. I think she's trying to get in to say something. I'm from New Jersey, she said. Okay, this is our brother from L.A., Brother Amin. Brother Amin, you got something to say on our topic
today? Yes, I sure do. You know, The Holy Quran says that to say that Allah had a son, I think Allah describes it as, you know, the mountain. I don't remember it verbatim, but I know I was reading the other day, and he says the mountain shall crumble to pieces, and he describes, you know, horror for saying that Allah has begotten the Son, because in this society, you talk about the mystery of Christ, and they have given us lies on top of lies and layers of confusion and mental anguish and mental illness on top of things. So if you would stay on this topic for a whole year, you know what I mean, and really explain to the people and empower Muslims and imams to know how to go out and talk to non-Muslims and administer them and explain things to them, you know what I mean? You really would be doing a good job, because they have really, really layered on top of layer of a lot of untruth and lies and addictions and alcoholism and everything, brother. So you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And
I'm
going to go back and listen for support. All right, brother.
Amen. Thank you very much, brother. Amen from Los Angeles. Let's go to the book, the book commentary of the Quran by Imam Muhammad, on page 493. And 494. You're going to speak about here that how Prophet Muhammad answered the sign of Jesus Christ. Page 493. And Imam Muhammad is saying here, quote, "And this is Jesus Christ in the world as a sign pointing to God. But he is acting out the word of God, showing how God's word affected him and made him become the word of God. It means he, Christ Jesus, was so obedient to the word of God that he is as the word of God in the world. But isn't that the same thing that Aisha, may God be pleased with her, the young wife of Muhammad, said of Muhammad, when they asked him about Muhammad? She said he, referring to Muhammad the prophet, he is the Quran
living in the world. End quote. The Quran is the word of God. Uncle, hold on a second. I got your ear in the background. Okay. He says here, the Quran is the word of God. You go back. She'll go back. She said he, referring to the prophet, he is the Quran living in the world. The Quran is the word of God. She said the same thing about Muhammad that she said, yeah, do you want to really know who he is? He, referring to Muhammad, is the Quran living in the world. He obeyed the Quran so perfectly that he himself was as the Quran. In fact, we got the Quran from him. We didn't get it from Jibril, from Gabriel. He got it from Gabriel. He had it. God gave it to him, and he, Muhammad, lived by it. Therefore, he was the Quran. You hear that now? Imam Muhammad said, therefore, he, Muhammad, was the Quran. So Muhammad really answered the sign of Jesus. Jesus is the word of God. Then the Quran comes plainly to Muhammad, and his wife says that to us so that we would know that he, Muhammad, was actually the word of God living among us, to explain to us what it means by Christ Jesus being the word of God. That is all it meant, that he, Jesus Christ, was obedient to God's word, but he was also obedient to God's spirit, and so was Muhammad and all the other two prophets of God. Muhammad was obedient to his will, to God's will, and to God's spirit. And Jesus Christ is called the Spirit from God. So this has given us clear insights, I do believe, dear people. What God is saying to us is that the example of Muhammad receiving the word of God and living it so thoroughly until he, Muhammad, became the word of God, as Christ Jesus was called the word of God. Brother Ibn Ayman, you have any comments on that, please? Okay. Brother Kareem, you have any comments you want to say on that?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Yo, just keeping it short, again, I would just make it to what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, one of his sayings, when he said, before the end of time, the world will see Jesus and I as one. So that word, that sign, is actualized. It's not just theoretical. It's not just exegesis, mm-hmm. if you will. It's not just scriptural mysticism. It's putting it into practice. It's putting it into practice in how we relate to our wives, the widows, the orphans. It's how we relate to the outer society, the broader society. It's how we relate to interfaith. It's how we relate to everything that touches the human being, not just, you know, spiritualism in the abstract. So when Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, referred to the prophet as being the Quran living, or as the Quran, some scholars have said the Quran moving, or moving. So that moving is relating to not necessarily just the physical movement, but it's talking about how scripture moves in our actual life and how we relate to our practical matters, not just exegesis, not just religious ritualism on the Sabbath day, if you will, on Sunday or on Friday or whatever the day is, but it's how that word moves us into transforming. And that sign, that same sign is in that dua, that prayer. When you, in the beginning of the show, you mentioned about one of the connections that Allah blessed me to make in my book, And that was the similarity or the resemblance of the prayer that Christians relate to is called the Lord's Prayer, related to the Al-Fatiha. And then that prayer that Christ Jesus taught his followers to say, he said, your kingdom come, or thy kingdom come, thy will, your will be done. Well, in Al-Fatiha, we say, you do we worship, and your aid do we seek. So there's so much connection there. I would say this, a challenge upon a challenge that is upon us as Muslims, and I wanted to just say I thank Allah for letting me be one of those to be one of the soldiers in that battle is in the propagation. And
hello? Oh wow, we lost it. I see on the screen here his call dropped. My goodness, an email I'm his call dropped too. Maybe they called back in. Wow. He's right in the middle of his comment too. Okay. Well, I'll go back to my sister here. This is 856. Give her one more chance. It seems she got a better connection. Call from 856. Yeah, thanks for calling Words Made People. You have a question and comment, please? That's 856-718.
That's
okay.
Me.
856-718. Yeah, that's you. Hello?
I
you have a question comment for us?
Yeah,
856-718. You have a question and comment for us?
That's your number.
I saw my gun. Can they hear me?
You press one. Yes, ma'am. We can hear you very well. You have a question and comment for us?
What do I have to put *6 to get in?
No, you're already in.
I don't know. This is a lie. Did this because I'm busy here trying to cook and listen to y'all. I love the book. The book is very informative. My name is Sultana Ali.
Okay,
hello. All right.
Oh yeah.
So and
I'm on Facebook all the time. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Okay, that's
Sultana Ali. No, I think I see you on Facebook, Sultana Ali.
Oh, yeah. And you made my book, Walking Out of the Shadow of the Slave Master. You did make a comment on that.
All right, I'm going to put the...
Okay, I just wanted to tune in. I don't even know how I got in here.
Do it like this, honey.
Thank you.
You press one on your phone. So you have a question or comment for us?
I gave you my comment. I told you that his book is excellent. It's a very good dawah tool. And that's it. Assalamualaikum.
You were referring to the book by Brother Kareem, right? Kareem Shabazz.
Kareem Shabazz.
His
book.
Yes, it is very
good
book. Thank you very much.
Two rays of the same light, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Very good job.
Okay.
Thank
you. Yes,
Assalamualaikum.
Well, thank you. Alaykum assalam. Okay, Brother Yemen Lyman, you back with us?
Where they coming from?
Huh? Okay.
I'm right here.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Well, I'm going to do now in the last 45 minutes because I'm going to shift gears. It's still tied in with the same connection. But I'm going to share some of the concepts that I gave Friday in the Kubah. And it's intended to line in with the same conversation because we want to make connections, and not that everyone will agree per se, but just hear us out and we can talk through it. You can always press one on your phone for comments or whatever. Let me see. Can I get my sister back? On site. Okay. So let me just share these thoughts here. And this is with the intent of bringing us into a sense of freedom as a people, in particular as African Americans, who we have found ourselves in a context, in a society. And if we are living in a society or a social context or a social construct, don't we deserve the right to know how that society was constructed or why that society was constructed? Also, if you have given your life to a quote-unquote religion, and I say quote-unquote because religion sometimes doesn't quite fit the bill. Religion is really saying a way of life. So if you're giving your life to a certain way of life, religion, don't we deserve the right to know how that religion was constructed? Or why the religion was constructed? Each religion and religious group in America has a history, a evolution. Historically, each religion has shaped societies. Religious laws and influences have had a shaping of society over the centuries, over the millenniums. However, for many religions and or religious groups, some societies altered the religion. So religion had an influence on societies, but sometimes societies had influence over the religion to where they had to reinterpret the religion, sometimes misinterpreted the religion. So once we give ourselves to religion, or as I said before, a certain society, we need to know some of the origins, the roots. These things didn't just poof, you know, like Shazam, out of nowhere. We have to know the origin of these things we give our lives to. The proper role, purpose, and messages of the prophets and messengers of God in many of these societies, that they change those messages to fit the status quo or other dominant social pressures, because the leadership in the religions were too weak or too afraid, or maybe even too guilty to stop the misrepresentation of their religions and their prophets and their messengers. So as a result of them being too weak and their messages being changed or misinterpreted, the same thing that was once a positive in the lives of the people now becomes a tool or an instrument to contain the people, even to mentally enslave the people for the benefit of the rich and powerful. They call them lords, house of lords, landlords. The dominant religious influence in America is Christianity, as it was shaped and fashioned in Europe in a way that favors and favored Europeans, and consequently favors European Americans, not Americans of African descent. I'm going to reiterate that point, that the dominant influence in America is a type of Christianity or an expression of Christianity that was shaped and fashioned in Europe. They brought it over here with them on the boat. their books and their mentality of what they saw was Christianity, but their way of saying Christianity is favored Europeans and not Africans, not Asians, not American Indians. Thus you have the white Jesus, the white angels. We have to keep this in mind. And we have to be honest about these things. If we're going to see the correlation between Christ Jesus and Muhammad, we have to be honest about certain things that we have adopted or been given to, that have been given to us by the dominant society. We want to know, if I'm going to give my life to this religion, I want to know, why was it constructed this way? Who did the construction? What was they thinking? What was the influence in their heart and mind? So when they shaped this religion that we now call Christianity, that is so dominant in my society, I need to know. I have a right to know. Did you say I'm free? Or what did you just talk when you said you're free? Time they say you're free, but they got a little box called freedom for you. It's time out for that. This being of Christianity in Europe. Along the way, the European pagan influences shaped the religious thinking in popular Western religious thought. I'm going to say it again. Along the way, European pagan influences shaped the religious thinking in Christianity. Popular Western religious thought. Thus, got the Easter Bunny, carrying chocolate eggs. You got a fat Santa Claus coming down the chimney, and you don't even have a chimney. You even got Halloween. Halloween is a good name, if you understand. It means holy evening. It's in the Catholic Church. It's Halloween means holy night, because November 1st is All Saints Day, and the eve before All Saints Day is a holy evening, Halloween. But the pagan influence had ghosts and goblins. They came to haunt and kill people. But they mixed the two together. They mixed the All Saints Day and Holy Evening with the ghosts and the goblins. So you got pagan influences influencing Christian thought, and we, to this day, can't shake it. They can't get rid of it. They can't. The church cannot shake the pagan influences. And in some situations, seemingly, they don't want to shake it. And the people in the church don't question why the church leadership is accepting, sometimes even encouraging, paganism in our society, paganism in religion. Amen. I mean, you with me? Okay. All right. There are pagan influences also in Muslim societies. And you find some Muslims who practice their Islam being influenced by the pagan influences in their community, in their society. And you have to question their thinking. But the safeguard that Muslims have is that our book, the Quran, is a book of security, and it has been preserved from being overtaken by outside influences. Therefore, the Quran is our safeguard to correct any other outside influences that come into Islam. Now, Islam in America. I got to get someone to confirm that I'm being heard, because I want my brother Ayman to help me out here.
I'm right here.
Okay. All right. I'm going to make sure that I'm being heard. I'm going to make sure I'm being heard.
You're being heard loud and clear, my brother. Keep on talking. We're right with you.
Alhamdulillah. Hey, you know, maybe that's that old church thing.
the reverend got to hear an amen of that flight sometime, you know, like, let him know that's he's right. on the right path.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Wait a minute. What about? Yeah.
That's right.
You know it all.
You know, but that was the Hey, but that was the African soul speaking to our people. Anyway.
That's right.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about our coming into El-Islam. We talked about the question that what the church gave us in this society. But our coming into El-Islam in America has many forms.
Yes, sir.
There's no one monolithic Islam in America, right? It has many forms, and it is fed from foreign and domestic sources. Talk about Islam in America. Talk about the thinking. Al-Islam in America, and although based on two key essentials, the two key essentials for Islam is the Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad. As a religious body, Al-Islam in America is still evolving and taking its own identity. But our coming into Al-Islam in America is evolving. The beauty of this Islamic evolvement in America, particularly for African-American Muslims, is that we are blessed to be ahead or leading to be ahead of this American Islamic Revolution. Whereas, and this is not to be taken in a disrespectful way, but I'm just telling you how it is. The Muslims, we are in the lead of Islam in America. Whereas our African-American Christians were the last ones accepted into a already developed Christianity. That's a fact of history. It was shaped, birthed in Europe, European thinking, European images, and then pagan influence from Europe. It was already shaped, up and running, and functioning when they finally decided to allow Africans in America to come into Christianity. And even then, they gave us what was called the Black Bible. What is the Black Bible? Go Google it, please. The Black Bible was one where they chose only verses from the Bible to teach to the enslaved to make sure they remain faithful, like verses like, be good to your master. They didn't put verses in their Black Bible like Moses fighting Pharaoh. They didn't want to be given the Negro slave any ideas. But before, and all the reason why they gave the Black Bible to the slaves at that time was because the enslaved Africans in Haiti had overthrown the French government and kicked them out of Haiti. They still mad at Hades to this. I mean, literally, they still mad at Hades to this day for kicking the French in the behind and kicking them out. And when the word was getting back up into America, and people like Nat Turner and the one they call the crazy white boy, John Brown and all them, they began to act out because they said, oh, if they can do it in Hades, we can do it here. They said, what can we give to the slaves to keep them in check? They said, give them certain verses from the Bible. That's when they really began to allow our ascendants, the former slaves, to come into any sense of Christianity on the plantation. That's just history. We got to question these things. Why did they do it this way? Why are we
coming in as the caboose of a train when it comes to us coming to Christianity. And then they gave us a European version of Christianity. You say, well, why are you saying all this, Mikhail? Because you will never be able to see Christ Jesus properly until you question how you came into seeing their understanding of Christ Jesus. And therefore, if you can't see, but once you see Muhammad the prophet, you can turn back around and see Christ Jesus. Disrespected intended. But as Muslim Americans, we have been blessed to be the conductor, the engineer, running the engine of the Islamic train. Whereas our African-American Christian brothers and sisters have been relegated to serve as the last to come onto the train. The train of Christianity. You may not like it, but that's the fact. I didn't write it. I didn't make it up. We'll talk about a very important man who I've learned to love and love him more and more as I read about him. He was an African-American Christian scholar. And we need to study this man more. Sir Howard Thurman, middle name Washington. Howard Washington Thurman. Look him up. Dr. Howard Thurman, he was the mentor of Dr. Martin Luther King. Howard Thurman was the one that met with Gandhi. Dr. King never met Gandhi face to face. He met Gandhi's teachings, but Dr. King never physically met Gandhi. Howard Thurman did. In 1936, Dr. Howard Thurman was invited by some people from India to bring a delegation to India. Why? Because they knew that African Americans were under a Christian religion, but still were being oppressed. And the people in India were under Christianity, a white version of Christianity, the British, and they were oppressed. So they invited Dr. Howard Thurman over so that they could see what was similar about their situations. They said, Dr. Howard Thurman, he spoke to 135 speeches when he was there. In the end, towards the end of his travels there, he met with Gandhi in the spring of 1936. In the notes of Dr. Thurman, he shares a little exchange between him and Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi. The report reads, quote, in the conversation lasting about 3 hours, published in the papers of Howard Washington Thurman, Gandhi engaged his guest in questions about racial segregation, lynching, African-American history, and religion. Okay, these two great men had a three-hour discussion on racial segregation, lynching, African-American history, and religion. Gandhi was puzzled as to why African Americans adopted the religion of their masters, Christianity. Gandhi reasoned that at least in religions like Islam, all were considered equal. Gandhi declared, quote, for the moment a slave accepts Islam, he obtains equality with his master, and there are several instances of this in history, end quote. This is what Gandhi told Howard Thurman. In other words, he said, why do you accept the religion, Christianity, of the man that enslaved you? You say Islam is better suited for your people. This is what Gandhi is telling Howard Thurman, Dr. Howard Thurman, in 1936. And Gandhi went on to say, but so Islam gives the slave equality with his master, Gandhi was saying, but he did not think that was true for Christianity. So Thurman asked Gandhi a question. What was the greatest obstacle to Christianity in India? This is the question Dr. Howard Thurman asked Gandhi, right? What was the greatest obstacle to Christianity in India? Gandhi replied that Christianity, as practiced and identified with Western culture and colonialism, was the greatest enemy to Jesus Christ in India. Isn't that something?
That's really something there.
And yeah, go ahead. You got a comment?
No, man. I just say that's powerful. That's powerful how Allah blessed him to connect that and to see it for what it was,
yeah,
what it is, you know. White supremacy was
right,
was speaking through the demonstrations of the Christianity that they were presenting to the Indian people, and they rejected it. They did
right,
not want to accept it. They rejected it.
Well, remember, Muhammad said this. He said Farah came from this same situation.
Yes, he did.
And that Farah coming to America, he was really setting up a battle between Islam and Christianity, because Farah had the insight to see far enough ahead that if he could raise up a voice for Islam in America, it would be in the right position to go to war against the racism that the white Christianity presented. And there's no coincidence, in my opinion, I've been putting it in my book, The Man Behind the Man, that Gandhi and Farah came from the same environment, under the same oppression, and they Gandhi connected with Thurman, which is Dr. King from Georgia, and Farah connected with Elijah from Georgia. And those two voices became the leading voices in the African-American struggle for freedom. I don't see a coincidence. Okay. Another report that I read years ago, when Gandhi seeing that Howard Thurman didn't accept his suggestion that Islam is better suited for African-Americans than Gandhi, he challenged Dr. Howard Thurman to at least look into Christianity. If you're going to stay with it, look into Christianity to find answers that address the race problem. And it was in this 1936 meeting that Gandhi introduced what's called Ahimsa. Ahimsa. Ahimsa is a word that means nonviolence. It was in 1936 when Gandhi introduced to Dr. Howard Thurman the theory, the concept of nonviolence. And Dr. Howard Thurman was a mentor to Dr. King, and Dr. King picked up on Gandhi's theory of Ahimsa or nonviolence. That's where it came from, Dr. Howard Thurman teaching Dr. King Gandhi's concepts. That's a whole different silver lining by itself. So, as Muslim Americans, we have to thank Allah for putting us in the lead and entrusting our hands and our brains to bring out the best of Al-Islam and the best of the Uswa of the Prophet for our lives here in America. Allah, he put us in the leadership. We don't have to turn to Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or even Africa to lead our beloved life for our insight interpretations. Allah gave us the Imam W.D. Muhammad to do that. That is a special blessing, dear people. I hope this not falling among deaf ears. This is a special, special blessing that when Allah allows us to become the leader of our own destiny of religion and not having to pick up or be the stepchild of someone's understanding of religion, that's a powerful blessing. Now, I got to bring in my brother Bashir Assad on that one. Brother Bashir, anything you want to say?
Well, yeah, you triggered my mind when you were talking about Gandhi and also the relationship that Farad Muhammad, and he came out of that same country, the same environment, and was experiencing the same oppression of colonialism at the time of Gandhi. And as you recalled in your research and in your book, Master Farad Muhammad, he dwelled in the area of Christianity, and he seen within the Christian teaching, which Gandhi asked Muhammad, that's the area he dwelled in, the concepts, as you said, they gave us concepts in Christianity that enslaved us. And Farad and Elijah Muhammad had to reinterpret those Christian concepts, bring them back into their proper perspective. And one other thing too, Farad came out of that situation of oppression under colonialism, and he was dissatisfied. Imam Wahdi Muhammad explained to us, even with Islam at that period of time, and he wasn't satisfied with the Islamic world, and he that's why Farad also told Andre Elijah Muhammad not to allow Muslims outside of this country to come into your community at that time.
Good observation. Good observation. Because we know that there are Muslims from around the world that would want to mentally and spiritually enslave us just as deep and as quick as some did in Christianity. Because not all Christians are bad, and not all Muslims are good.
And so some of their concepts, not that they were necessarily bad morally people, but we know that some of the concepts that have come into al-Islam, the Imam had to come in and correct those. And that's why
the Imam is so significant.
Wait a minute,
I got to correct you. Their concept did not come into al-Islam. It came into their Islam.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But when you get there, count steps out, then Islam come back. But go ahead.
Yeah. For that, you know, that's the great significance too of Imam Muhammad. Not only did he bring a correction to the African American and the American society, but the greater world society of al-Islam and humanity and religious community as a whole.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, so we have to, I just wanted to mention that because we have to recognize that it was mainly, not even Farad, it was mainly the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that put into us a type of thinking that would not allow us to go into those slave camps of Muslims from around the world. Now, even though he knew that he wasn't teaching Islam completely, but that wasn't his job. He said, my son, come after me. He said, the one come after me. We'll do that. He said, my job is to clean you up. And so he meaning the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I mean, he gets the credit for giving us the mind and the attitude and the disposition that I don't have to follow you because you say you're a Muslim overseas. And even though you know the whole Quran by heart, you don't mean that you understand it by heart. And so we come in the spirit of Bilal ibn Rabah, Bilal Habashi. When Abu Bakr frees him, what did Bilal say to Abu Bakr? He said, did you free me to be Allah's slave, or did you free me to be your slave? And that's the spirit we got from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Are you bringing me Islam to make me your student, your boy, your girl, your mental slave? Or are you bringing me Islam so I can be free to serve God like you? And so we have to be mindful of that as well. So I got about 15 minutes. I got less than that. But go ahead, please.
One other thing I'd like to point out, too, in connection with that, Imam Wadi Muhammad pointed out to us the reason why Master Barad, too, didn't want Muslims from outside this country to come into the community of Nation of Islam at the time, because he wanted us to come into an independent thinking. And also in relationship to that, the Imam pointed out to us when he first went on Hajj and he met Ulama Al-Duti there, that when he went to his tent, Al-Duti told those that were there who the Imam was and how Islam was developing here in the United States, and he instructed them not to try to teach us. You don't try
that's
to
right.
teach them. Let them develop.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's significant.
Yes, sir. It's very important. It's very, very important. And thank you very much. I'm trying to wrap this up here. We got about 10 minutes left or so. So it is a blessing that our Islam, our as African Americans in particular, coming into Islam in America. I'm not talking about around the world, but here in America, that we have been blessed to be put into a leadership position. We are, as you can hear from our conversation today, and hear many other imams and many sisters as well. We have some learning sisters who are students of Imam Muhammad. To hear a new mind, a new people, a new thinking. That's why I said from the beginning of our show, open your thinking cap. Listen with the willingness to learn new thoughts on old ideas. We have a special blessing, dear people. We are in a leadership role. God has blessed us to be in a leadership role of people bringing Islam to this part of the world, and due to high-speed communications around the entire world. I listened to my brother Rafiki, Imam Yahya Abdullah. He said he had about 5,000, probably had grown since then. He had 5,000 listeners. They'd be tuning in from all over the world to hear a student of Imam W.G. Muhammad. And we're just getting started. But the main point is that Allah has blessed us to be the engineers of our own training, of our religious evolution of Islam in America. We don't have to wait and see what someone else says, and we're not bound or binded to someone else's evolution of the religion. They want us, so I said before, as Muslim Americans, we have to thank Allah for putting us in the lead and entrusting our hands and our brains to bring the best of the Quran, El Quran, and the best of the Uswa of the Prophet, not the Sunnah of the Prophet. They will say, brother, if we got to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet. Okay, we know what they mean, but
They got to think about this. The Quran don't say the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Nowhere. It says the Uswa. Uswa meaning pattern of conduct. It's from the word Siwa, which means balance. Uswa. So we follow the Uswa of the Prophet. You don't find Sunnah in the Quran except for, it says the Sunnah of Allah. Sunnah means the way of. Sunnah means the way of, or how someone does something, or how someone practices a thing. So the Quran does speak in a few places about the Sunnah of Allah, and that man can't change it. But also it speaks in a critical way about the Sunnah of certain people who live wrong. But nowhere in the Quran will you find the Sunnah of Muhammad. You find the Uswa, Uswa Hasanat. And there's the excellent model of the Prophet. So Muslims, we need to get to know Prophet Muhammad. Christians need to get to know Christ Jesus. Peace be upon both of them. But we would never properly know Jesus the Christ until you know Prophet Muhammad. That's just a fact. Know Prophet Muhammad, I mentioned three levels here. This is just my notes. So this is not gospel here. This is just my notes. But on three levels, we need to get to know Muhammad. Know him as Muhammad ibn Abdullah. That is the son of Abdullah. He was born in 570 A.D. He died in 632 A.D. His mother was named Amina. His father was named Abdullah. Yes, get to know that Muhammad. Get to know that Muhammad. But more importantly, get to know Muhammad Rasulullah. Yes, get to know that Muhammad. Muhammad is the messenger of God. That's the Muhammad that supersedes Muhammad ibn Abdullah. There was a person that sent a treaty out to be signed. And in the Prophet, he had signed the treaty, Muhammad, the messenger of God. And the person, he liked the treaty, but he took his pen and he crossed out. He said, Muhammad, the messenger of God? No. He crossed it out and he scratched in Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. He said, that's the Muhammad I know. In other words, he was blinded to the message of Muhammad. He could only see the flesh and blood of man, Muhammad. So, yeah, if you want to know the flesh and blood of the man, Muhammad, but more importantly, you want to know Muhammad, the messenger of God. And from reading Imam Muhammad's notes in the book today, we don't want to know Muhammad as the word of God, walking, the word of God. In action, the word of God, human par excellence, the best example of human evolution. That's Muhammad, the fulfillment of all the prophets, including Christ Jesus. Get to know Muhammad that way. When we can clearly see Prophet Muhammad as the word of God, then we had better understand Jesus as a word of God. Yes, Jesus is the word of God pointing to Muhammad. And don't see Muhammad only as a flesh and blood man. You would miss Muhammad. Don't see Christ Jesus as a flesh and blood man. You would miss Christ Jesus. This is how we can see the connection. So that was the end of my notes from the Friday Kutubah I gave. Yes, also in closing, I have people in my family and some friends, some good friends even. And they made me know, they say, they black Hebrew Israelites. And I was inquiring, I said, well, what happened? You know, and one particular person, he said he was the assistant minister in the church. And when they began to ask questions about certain things, and it's like when they found out,
Yeah, and I did my homework. I'm not done doing this homework, so you all can join me in this homework assignment. I said, well, what is the meaning of the name Jesus? Yes, it's given to us. Because for years we've been questioning if the letter J in the 10th letter of the English alphabet, if the letter J is only 490-something years old, maybe it's had a birthday, maybe the letter J is now 500 years old. So you mean to tell me this is 2021, you mean to tell me before 1490-something or whatever, if there was no letter J? That's what we're saying. There was no letter J in English. Matter of fact, English itself, you go back 1,400 years ago, there was no English period on the earth. English was birthed out of the German language. So now you got these names, James and Jacob and Jesus. Now how are you going to have these names if there's no letter J? So they said, well, they did some research, and they said, really, it wasn't Jesus, it was Yahshua. Yahshua. Because that was really the name for Jesus. So what does Yahshua mean? Well, this is where we got to think about this. Yahshua don't mean Jesus. Yahshua means Joshua. You know Joshua fought the battle of Jericho? Joshua. That's what Yahshua means. But they're saying, well, that's the real name of Jesus now. So you're saying that Joshua and Jesus are the same? Joshua came after Moses. And when Moses didn't make it into the promised land, he led them by Joshua. And Joshua does mean the Lord is salvation, but Joshua and Jesus are not the same. So y'all join me in my homework assignment. I want to know the name J-E-S-U-S. What does it mean? Now, you know, in English, we say Esau for Jesus. They say Jesus, we say Esau. And if you take a J out for Jesus, you know, I'm going to call Esau. But that's, I'm still doing my homework. So y'all help me out. I see my brother, I mean, got something to say. Brother, I mean, I got about 25 seconds. You got 25 seconds, my brother. Go ahead, Brother Muhammad. I mean, you got something to say before I go? Okay. Maybe he didn't mean to push one. You mean Lyman? Oh, since you got something you want to share with us before we go, I had to put you on hold for a second. You mean Lyman?
Yes, sir. This has been an excellent program. I might have to agree with Imam, we might have to talk about this all year. This has been an excellent program. This has been a good enlightening program. And all praises due to Allah, man. I just want to thank Allah for you and the believers, Brother Kareem, and all the callers that called in, Mark Shaheed, Amin, Muhammad, you know, everybody.
You know what?
For contributing. The brother out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, sir. You won't believe this, but two people done hit their phone for a comment. I'm giving 5 seconds apiece. Call the 609. The show didn't go off, my brother. Sister. You have a comment, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dawood of Dalzim.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you for the program, brother, and keep the good work up. I really enjoyed it.
Beautiful.
Yes, I like
for that.
I like my salam. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know, Imam Muhammad loved Jersey because Jersey always poured out getting Imam support.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for that.
Okay, we go. This is, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay, this is, this number looks familiar. I'm going to go back to him anyway. Call the 773-450.
Bashir again. Quick comment on the letter J and a comment by Imam Morty Muhammad Jesus, and he said, just us.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. All right. All right, Brother Muhammad Amin, you got one last chance. You got 5 seconds, Brother Muhammad Amin. Okay.
Look like he's gone, man.
He's gone. Well, no, his phone lit up. Okay, we got to go, my dear people. I enjoyed it. This is a 3-hour production.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go out with our song, Worry of My People. Our theme song, Worry of My People. As-salamu alaykum. See you next week, inshallah.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on, give advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, work and buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words and make your mind. If your words are good, then good you'll be. Cause those kind of words that set you free. From thinking stock, words come back. From ideas deep in your mind. You need words to make people and people to make the world go round. Words that make people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free. Bye.